The Gospel from St. Luke chapter 10, reading the fuller context than is printed in the bulletin. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. We don't really know what happened to this lawyer, this expert in religious law, who confronted Jesus with the question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" We hope that he came to realize the lesson Jesus was giving him was much more than just go and be a good person, help other people. Too often, that's how this parable is understood. There is an element of that in what Jesus teaches us here, but this parable digs deeper into our souls than that. This legal expert speaks about inheriting eternal life, but then he connects it with, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Sometimes inheritance is used to reward people for what they have done, but inheritance is ultimately and usually a gift, not necessarily deserved. Jesus meets this man in his legal understanding of the Old Testament. "What is your reading of the law of Moses?" The man gives a correct answer. "Love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself." But the man must also realize that he has not done this and cannot do this. Luke tells us that he asked Jesus one more question, wanting to justify himself. Maybe there's a legal loophole so that he can get around that absolute demand of this commandment. He asks, "And who is my neighbor?" Maybe we ask the same question, because it's not so difficult for us to love our friends, our family, those who are kind to us, those who are the cool people that we want to hang around with. But do we really have to love those others? Do we really have to love those science and math nerds, those dumb jocks, those geeky arts and music people, those greedy business people, and those psychology and sociology students? We even have nasty adjectives to describe each and every one. Do we really have to love those who didn't go to Christian schools, those who aren't even Lutheran? Wanting to excuse our sin of not loving these people, we cast them into categories of what we consider unworthy and undeserving of our love. What if God did that to us? Are we worthy? Are we deserving of God's love? What can we do to inherit God's love? It's an impossible question. The psalmist says, If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, if you should count sins, O Lord, who could stand? This is where the parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us something more than just be good people. It teaches us about the compassion of our gracious and forgiving God. God is the real Good Samaritan in our lives. The Samaritan in our text saw this Jewish man lying there, robbed, beaten, left for dead, a man who probably would have considered him to be the scum of the earth. The Samaritan, Jesus says, had compassion on someone who probably hated him and his whole ethnic group. Yet he had compassion. That's an amazing word. It really is the same word as sympathy in another language. Passion means suffering, just like the passion of the Christ. Compassion means suffering along with someone. It means to feel someone's pain so much that you suffer along with them. The word used here is even more physical. It says of the Samaritan that his insides were stirred up. Seeing this poor victim lying on the side of the road moved this Samaritan to suffer with him, to have compassion and sympathy. We know what it's like to have a lump in our throat or to have a knot in our stomach. That's how deep the Samaritan's compassion was for this poor, helpless, dying man. And so he had mercy on him and helped him, taking care of all his needs. He tended his wounds and brought him to safety and shelter. That's the kind of compassion and mercy that only God can have for us, poor, lost, condemned, helpless sinners. That is the unique message of Christianity. St. Paul summarizes it in these words: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To help your enemy? Is that logical? No. But God's love and compassion are beyond logic, beyond reason, beyond human understanding. If God loved and forgave us only when we did good things, only when we earned it, we would be most miserable. We could never be sure of our salvation. We would have to ask, have I done enough? Does God love me now? Do I deserve God's love? Of course, we don't deserve God's love. But God's mercy and compassion aren't based on whether we deserve it or not. God loves us, helps us, and saves us because he is love. Steadfast love, continual love, compassionate love, giving love, undeserved love, absolute love. God gets a knot in his stomach thinking that we might have to be condemned to hell and suffer eternal death. He looks at us and says, whoever you are, whatever you have done, I love you. I have compassion on you. I forgive you all your sins. God takes the soothing oil and wine of his grace and pours them on the wounds of our soul to heal us. Jesus takes our wounds upon himself, suffers eternal punishment in our place, so that we are set free to inherit eternal life as a gift. Jesus has paid the price for your soul, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. And only because God has done this for us can we understand really what it means and be motivated also to go and do likewise, to be a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves. We know what it's like to have fallen among the thieves. We have even conspired with the thieves. But God had compassion on us, had mercy on us, rescued us, and delivered us. Now his home in heaven is ready and waiting for us because God did not pass by on the other side. He has been the kindest neighbor. He has healed us and saved us. Amen.